Today on Movie World, as we talk about Spy and Jurassic World. It's time for Movie Wellers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Josh. Me.
Yes, you as well.
Movie Wellers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hello, hello.
Greetings.
Hi.
I'm really excited to talk about both of these movies
Are
today.
You?
One more than the other. I'll let you guess which. You probably can guess knowing me, but
Jurassic World.
This has been one that I've been dying to talk about.
And we saw them quite a while ago, so we've been kind of busy.
Well,
we haven't been able to record our podcasts.
We've kind of sandwiched it with LA Film Festival, which we saw. How many movies did we see?
I saw 14, I think.
You can get
14 or 15.
Yeah,
you can get pretty overwhelmed when you see a concentrated dose of movies like that, but that's probably why it's a little fuzzy, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best to cover the pertinent points. So why don't we just get into our
reviews? Start with the dinosaurs?
Let's do that.
Okay. And that's no disrespect to Melissa McCarthy. I don't want to add to the fat jokes.
Oh,
it's going to be like that.
Okay, Jurassic World. And we saw this one in 3D IMAX. Or Limax, as Joe likes to call it. So Steven Spielberg returns to executive produce the long-awaited next installment of this groundbreaking Jurassic Park series. This is Jurassic World. Colin Trevorrow directs the epic action-adventure based on characters that were originally created by Michael Crichton. And the screenplay is by Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silva and Derek Connolly and Trevorrow. And the story is by Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silva, Frank Marshall and Patrick Crowley, who joined the team as producers as well. So this stars Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, a number of other people that we've seen in other things, in smaller roles like Lauren Lapkus, Ty Simpkins, BD Wong and Irfan Khan join the cast as well. So
why is that funny?
It's funny because right at the end, the names are coming up and we figured we'd start playing this game, which is, can you spot the most interesting job or the funniest name? And the name BD Wong came up and I said to Yazdi, that must be the one who played the raptor.
BD Wong would be a good name for a
restaurant. BD Wong is a good name.
BD Wong would be a great name for a restaurant.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So just before we get into this, I mean, Colin Trevorrow. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I wanted to talk about that a little bit because he directed Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a completely
different
movie.
And I love that movie.
What a bold move by a studio to entrust a franchise like Jurassic World to a director who's only really directed a small independent movie, which I think was written by the Duplass brothers.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what they did with Godzilla last year. Do you remember that was directed by, I forget his name, he directed Monsters.
Gareth Edwards.
Thank you, yeah. And he then, I don't know what's going on here, why they're doing that. But maybe it's just an antidote to the Michael Bays of this world. You know, let's not give it to the big bombastic director that's just going to fill it with explosions. Mm. And maybe give it to somebody who might think about the script a little differently. So I'm excited to talk about this.
Okay, so let's hang on to Joe's excitement a little bit longer. Yazdi, what did you think of this?
So I think this is a fun movie to watch on a Friday night, and moment by moment, it plays along very well. I have two big complaints about it. So I started off by saying everybody should watch it. You know, nobody will not like it. You know, your 98-year-old grandma will like it, and your 4-year-old kid will like it. It's actually pretty safe material as it goes. My two big issues with it is, one is that the movie is very, very reminiscent of the first one. You know, it's the same premise, you know, put dinosaurs in an amusement park. Oh, cute little dinosaur, kuchiku, kuchiku. Dinosaur gone bad, dinosaurs on rampage, run. You know, two dinosaurs fight each other, end of movie. It's pretty much like the first one. And my second big issue, and I think this is probably just me personally, but the movie, the first few, or even the first two Jurassic Park movies, were so good because they were equally thrilling and scary. In fact, Joe, you and I talked about it. It's going to be about like somebody brushing their teeth and dinosaur coming out. And I wanted more Boo moments. And I normally hate Boo moments, but this movie was too busy being an action film to spend too much time really scaring you. And I wanted to be scared.
Hmm.
But it's okay.
Joe, it's come okay. on.
I accept everything you said there, Yazdi, but I loved the pants out of this movie.
Really?
I really did, yeah. In fact, in many ways, it reminded me of the way that I felt when I saw the original Jurassic Park. Now, there's a lot of holes to pick in this movie. Like, you know, if you examine the plot too carefully, it doesn't hang up too well. The Bryce Dallas Howard character is an abomination. Like, yes. what they had her not do in this movie is really it's an embarrassment. But at the same time, I felt as if I was placed back on the island, is off of the coast of Costa Rica somewhere, I think, and was in an environment where the dinosaurs were real and they were frightening and you could reach out and touch them. This movie placed me right there. So in many ways, it's more of a fairground ride than it was a movie. But I really enjoyed this two-hour experience. I mean, it was... Yazdi, I don't know that I got as many jump shocks, I'll agree. It didn't have those kind of, you know, bah moment where, you know, the monster appears from nowhere. I don't particularly like those. I like the sense of dread that you have when this overpoweringly powerful creature is toying with you and there is seemingly no way to escape from that. So this movie had loads of those kind of moments where the characters were kind of trapped and, you know, they had to get themselves out of some tight spots, and that's just fun for me. That was really good fun.
Okay, so if you didn't like the original, you're not going to like this reboot, sequel, whatever they call this now. But if you did like the original, which I did, then this was quite thrilling at times. Predictable, as you can imagine, but some real moments of smartness. I didn't care much for the message about corporate pressure and talk about assets and product. You know, all that stuff. And I agree with you, Joe. I found the Bryce Dallas Howard character so much of a businesswoman trope. I'm so over it. But the movie's adequate as a whole. I agree with you, Yazdi. I think everyone's going to like it. I just didn't really feel scared. Yeah. I never felt scared for any of the characters.
But did you feel thrilled? Because I agree.
Yeah, I was thrilled.
I wasn't scared either, but I was thrilled with the action. In much the same way that San Andreas didn't have me frightened about the world of an earthquake. But I did feel like I was placed within an environment that was very real.
Yeah, I guess the difference for me is, Yazdi, and you said this, it was similar to the first one, except in the first one there were only really six main characters, right? And there were only the people looking after the park who were the extra fodder that could be eaten. Here, this is like a Disney world. There are thousands of people on this park. So I think the stakes are higher in terms of how many people can be eaten or killed. I just didn't feel frightened for anyone.
Yeah, I never really once believed
that
any of those dinosaurs were real. Any, not a single one.
Yeah, I like the one in the water. That was a really thrilling one.
Well, no, that's a key. That's a key thing, because if that doesn't work for you, there's nothing here.
No, it felt like a good monster movie to me, but I was always aware that it's a CGI made monster. And you know, there are thrilling parts when they're in that round gyroscope thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
You know, but so there were thrilling moments in the sense that something is behind you, you need to get away. You know, so from that perspective,
was it the visual? Because I think there's been a tangible improvement in CG since we saw the original one. These things lived and breathed and walked the earth for me. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
What didn't work?
No, I did not. I was very conscious.
You thought it was puppetry?
Time. Yeah. I mean, it's good puppetry. Mm. I mean, they breathe and their skin moves and all, but that just to me seems like we are doing better and better with our CGI.
Complete suspension of disbelief for me.
Oh, really?
I was there. I was in the park, and that Tyrannosaurus Rex was all over me. I was like wanting to duck under my seat.
Really? Wow. Mm. So I'm with Yazdi. I mean, I think it plays suitable homage to the original, and I think the story is suitably updated so that we can believe it, and it will appeal to an audience now 20 years later, because look, we're all the ones who are going back 20 years later. But it didn't produce a result that's much better given the CG we have available. So I think it's good CG, but considering we're 20 years on in terms of filmmaking, the result wasn't much better. The original was so good, I think, in that sense, and it did make.
But that's Spielberg.
Yeah, I mean, and it did know, make.
He has a touch that is hard to replicate. That.
Right. I mean, the original movie had all these classic scenes, you know, of
the toilet,
yeah. And you know, the bus falling off, and they're hanging by the bus, and
the raptor in the lab.
Right. I mean, I genuinely was scared. I wasn't scared. So that's what I meant. Like, it worked as an action film better for me. And I think the single biggest issue I have with the movie is the script or the lack thereof. I mean, that script is appalling. Yeah. I mean, you know, Chris Pratt, you know, it's amazing. I mean, he was so much better in Guardians of the Galaxy. His character was so much more developed, more fun. Yet Chris Pratt's character has absolutely no defining characteristics. And oh my God, I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard, I mean, that's like something out of a 50s Indian movie. I mean, like, honestly, the world has moved on since these kind of female characters, you know. Joss Whedon got into a lot of trouble because, you know, after he saw the preview for the movie, he tweeted that, you know, this is such a bad stereotype. And, you know, Colin Trevorrow and Bryce Dallas Howard said, "We understand how you might feel that based on the trailer. I don't know who cut the trailer, but I hope you watch the movie and your view changes." Well, I watched the movie and my view hasn't changed. That's very offensive.
Yeah, I just found the whole thing very pat.
I mean, but it's fun.
But it is fun, yeah. No. And it's thrilling.
I must admit, yeah, there are definitely holes to poke in the script, and it doesn't compare well if you really analyze it to the original. In the sense of, you know, Spielberg, you've got to hand it to him. I mean, just things like the ripples in the pools of water and the way he builds suspense. And in many ways, you know, he did the Jaws thing to us again, right? In Jurassic Park, the original. But, nonetheless, I mean, you know, script things aside, it was a blast.
Yeah.
So I'll give you my score with that said. You know, really well-rendered dinosaurs, no uncanny valley here. I was placed right square in the middle of that park while chaos ensued around. If you're going to go see this, go see it big, go see it loud. We saw it in IMAX 3D, and I think the experience for me was so immersive, so much fun. I had a whale of a time with this movie. It's really, I'm struggling here not to give it a 9.
Give it a 9. Come on.
Come on.
What's yeah, okay, I'll give it a 9.
Give it a 10.
and who never gives 10.
And it's not because it's a great movie in the sense of movie. It was a great experience in the movie theater. This is something that will not translate to the home environment.
Yeah, that's
go
true.
Go see it big. Go see it loud. Biggest, noisiest multiplex theater that you can find yourself. Grab a box of popcorn and enjoy the heck out of the next 2 hours. This was great fun.
9.
Nice. 9.
Yazdi.
Look, this is a well-made B-movie. That's all it is, right? I mean, it's really a well-made B-movie. And I also found that the movie was being very hypocritical because its message was very anti-corporate while it was flashing, like, every kind of endorsement you could think of.
Oh,
Starbucks
goodness.
And Samsung Mercedes. And Verizon and Mercedes and Coca-Cola.
They make, like, a joke of it in the movie, too.
I know, but that doesn't exempt them from the crimes they're committing. So I think I'm coming down. I mean, I enjoyed this movie in the minute, like I started off saying. The reason why I'm coming down so harsh is because I'm really annoyed that this movie, of all the movies in the history of mankind, has made more money than any other now. So this movie really has to make more money than any. I mean, why can't it be a classic like E.T.? I can live with that. But I don't want to be on my deathbed realizing that the movie which was most profitable in the history of all of cinema was Jurassic World. So that's why I'm being a little bit harsh about it. So I give it somewhere between a 6 and a 7, but maybe 6 out of 10.
Rashmi?
Yeah, Jurassic World is not as horrible a universe as I imagined it would be, but it's no masterpiece either. I agree with you, Joe. It's a great experience, but in terms of a movie, it missed the mark. So I agree with Yazdi, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I know I'm overrating it, by the way. I mean, everyone has to know. But you know, I was right back in 1992 or whenever it was.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
exactly.
As excited as I was to see these things walking around. And I wanted to spend more time there. And I will get to spend more time there because there will be the inevitable sequels because of its box office success. So, yay for me. Yeah.
I like the part how it was kind of clever how the movie has aged the kid to be almost exactly, or maybe not, but when the kids first arrive on the island, the younger kid is so excited. And you kind of create this excitement about Jurassic Park through the eyes of this little
kid. Correct, yeah.
Which was very nicely done because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they didn't grow up with these movies.
Right.
You know, if you're a teenager right now, you probably watched like something on television and you thought it was goofy and silly.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of instill a sense of excitement about this park through the eyes of this little kid was pretty clever.
That's very good observation. Yeah.
And it did, you know, just to finish one final point, production hell, I think, is what has damaged this movie. It's gone through several writers, and there are a couple of handoffs here in director and stuff. So the writing part I can see is kind of a hodgepodge, and it feels that way in the script because there are some jumps it makes, and, you know.
Yeah, and actually, characters. I forgot to mention one of the things you just reminded me, in the 3D version, I don't know whether you had this problem, so I would say don't watch it in 3D, is that the aspect ratio was really strange. So when you looked at the back of a character, they looked miniature compared to the person who they're talking to.
Oh, you sounds like you had a problem with the glasses.
Ooh. It was really strange. So I know Bryce Dallas Howard is much smaller than Chris Pratt, but she looked like a little dwarf in my eyes. Wow. compared to Chris Pratt. And so any time I looked at someone from the back, they were tiny in comparison.
Oh, that's so strange.
So you guys didn't have that experience? For a
refund, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just thought this is really weird, but anyway.
All right, movie number two in this podcast is the Melissa McCarthy flick, Spy. So who's going to intro?
Me. So Susan Cooper is an unassuming, desk-bound CIA analyst and the unsung hero behind the agency's most dangerous missions. But when her partner falls off the grid and another top agent is compromised, she volunteers to go deep undercover to infiltrate the world of a deadly arms dealer and prevent a global disaster. So this is written and directed by Paul Feig, and it stars Melissa McCarthy, Jason Statham, Rose Byrne, Bobby Cannavale, Marina Baccarin, Allison Janney, and Jude Law, amongst others. So, Yazdi, what did you think of this one?
So I started writing notes when this movie began, and I wrote, Bobby Cannavale, yay! Rose Byrne, yay! Jason Statham, yay! Allison Janney, yay! And then I stopped taking any more notes. And so the best thing I can say about this movie is that I enjoyed it so much, I even forgot I was watching a movie and I forgot to take notes.
You forgot to review it?
I reviewed it eventually. So I wrote down things about it, but it's been, I mean, you know, we consciously take notes when you're writing movies, but I was so into it, and this movie breaks absolutely no new ground, but what it does it with so much heart, and the jokes are coming so fast that I just put my pen down saying, the hell with it, I just want to enjoy this. And I enjoyed it, and I've seen this movie twice, and it holds up remarkably well. I'm a huge fan of Spy.
I love when you go and see movies twice.
I do.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, what a lot of fun this movie was too. It's quite the opposite of Jurassic Park. And, you know, Rashmi, I was a little disappointed when at the beginning of this podcast you mentioned fat joke. Because I don't think this movie had fat jokes in it at all. In fact, I think you could have switched out Melissa McCarthy and put in place somebody like Amy Poehler or Sandra Bullock. Because I don't think that there were any deliberately, you know, nasty. You know how in Pitch Perfect 2, I was complaining about the
Rebel.
Yeah, the Rebel Wilson character always being the butt of these fat jokes. None of that here. This was just a character who, you know, maybe complaining about wearing frumpy outfits, but none of them were geared at her way. So, and she didn't seem to be impaired in any way in terms of, you know, being a larger character. So I love the fact that that was completely ignored. But that aside, this movie was terrifically good fun. It was inventive. It was clever. And yet, Yazdi, nothing especially new here, but it was just so well executed. Everything was as funny as it's... I think every joke worked. And, you know, I often talk about the laugh test when reviewing a comedy. I think you could take any five-minute segment of this movie and see if it will pass. And see if it will pass the laugh test. Yeah. And I think any 5 or 10-minute segment of this movie will get 5 or so good laughs out of me at any given point in time. I had really good fun with this.
So I disagree. I thought there were a few fat jokes, but maybe I was sensitized to them or watching for them. I don't know. I mean, initially, I thought this was Jude Law's interview to be the next James Bond. And then I realized that it's a low-level spoof of every spy movie there's ever been. I think it's funny and smart, but it's too many laughs. Like, it's trying so hard that Jason Statham is almost a caricature of himself. And it's fun, but I didn't find it brilliant. And I think other than Bridesmaids, Paul Feig movies are just a miss for me. I enjoy them, but I don't love them.
Well, what other movies are there? There was the Alien one.
Knocked Up. There's I Am Paul. Bridesmaids.
I didn't realize he directed Knocked Up. I thought that was Judd Apatow.
No, it's a Judd Apatow movie, but directed by Paul Feig. So he's done a lot of movies, actually. But they're a little bit miss for me, I think, at times.
Interesting,
so,
okay.
Yeah, and I think overall, by the end, it all gets so crazy that I forgot what the original premise of the movie was and what the purpose of the caper was, and the transition of the main character just happened too fast and unbelievably for me. So I enjoyed it. I think it is terrific fun. It's just trying too hard, I think.
I think it's, you know, we've talked about this. The work of some directors either resonate for you or don't. I mean, Bridesmaids would probably be on my list of the best movies in the past decade. And there's something about this movie, and like I said, when I watched it the second time, I thought it would be a complete letdown because I know every joke and I know everything, and yet I laughed the second time, and I kind of appreciated the structure of the movie because this kind of, right, how many goofy, you know, spoofs there have been made of spy movies. And yet this movie has a good heart, and the movie really, I mean, the jokes come rapid and fast, and I picked
too
up
many.
Things. Like, there were things about the Bobby Cannavale character I did not pick up the first time. There are allusions to certain things which you almost miss because things are coming so fast. And I love the casting. I love that Jason Statham is completely doing a caricature of himself. And every time he's saying one preposterous thing about after the other, like, remember the one time I ripped my arm off and used my other arm to put that arm back on. I mean, he's having such a good time with it that it was very infectious for me. And I do want to say something about Melissa McCarthy as well, but Joe, go on. I mean, what I wanted to say about Melissa McCarthy is that, you know, she's been in a share of awful movies, right? She was in Identity Theft and she was in Tammy, and those are pretty unwatchable, those films are. But, you know, she got famously into this whole big controversy because there were these well-established critics who made fun of her size. And there were, you know, somebody called her a rhino, you know, in one of her reviews. And I think it's unfair to reduce her to her physicality.
I
mean, that is a portion of her. And I think there is a piece in this movie where she does kind of get back at that, you know, especially when she's on the earpiece and talking with Jude Law through one of his things. But I think this movie very consciously, and I've watched interviews with Paul Feig, and he said he was very conscious not to make her physicality a part of her character. And he very consciously, he said, like in the Heat that, you know, that was previously made with her, a lot of the humor comes from the fact that she's not very good at the job that she's doing. And he said he did not want to ascribe that to her. Nobody expects her to be good, but he wanted her to be good. And there's never any question that she is a very, very good spy.
Correct.
And you know, there's a lot of things which are wrong with the world, but I like the fact that somebody's making a movie where they won't allow a character like Melissa McCarthy's to be derided.
Well, we were talking about this, I can't remember who was talking about this the other day, but personal bias in interpretation.
Yes.
You know, I think it was to do with color, but, you know, when you ask a panel of school kids to rate...
Yeah, we talked about it in a podcast, I think.
Yeah, to rate people based on their physicality. We make certain biases and assumptions based on, you know, if somebody's overweight, you expect that they're slow and maybe not so bright, or, you know, they have other... And I that's what I loved about this movie. It felt like the part was not necessarily written for somebody of, you know, larger size. It was just written for a female lead, and I was waiting for it. I was waiting for that moment of disappointment where I'd be like, oh, and finally, you know, they made, you know, she can't get through the doorway, you know, or some stupid thing like that irritates the heck out of me in a non-slapstick, you know, movie. You know, it's just cheap. None of that. Not one. And I was looking for them because I wanted to complain about it. And I was like, yay, I came out of that with just like, they did it right. They did it right. She is just a talented actress and she's terrific at what she does. Much like the lead role character here. It's not about who she is and how she looks. It's about the work that she does here. And it's brilliant.
Yeah,
but then why are we talking about it?
Because it's remarkable. It's the world in which we live in that makes something like this remarkable. It makes it, for me, something that is unusual because I'm so set up to expect that from the movies. I'm so it's like that movie that offended us earlier in the year with its black jokes. The one it was so horrible. I blocked it out of my mind. But it was that bad comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you liked it.
Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell.
Oh, I get like hard. That one.
Yeah. Get hard. That's the kind of movie that uses stereotypes in an offensive way, because it just throws the stereotypes at you and says, here, society, let's laugh at this particular issue. Well,
so you thought the Italian Man wasn't a caricature or a cliché?
But it's...
Well, it wasn't the Melissa McCarthy, and that's the issue I'm speaking of here. Okay. So,
and can we all just take a moment and sing with me, everybody, the praises of... Sing with me the praises of Rose Byrne. Come on. I mean, when is her ship going to come in? She was amazing in Neighbors. And she and Jason Statham actually make the movie for me. Forget even Melissa McCarthy.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I just didn't enjoy her performance at all.
Oh,
maybe she was so effective at being that character that I just...
You know what? I found her character unpredictable.
Right. And she was scary.
She was frightening because she was absolutely unpredictable. And there were times when I was like, oh, okay, this, you know, I've got this figured out. And then she behaves in a way that's completely different and yet somehow consistent with the way that this character is. So I loved her as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's this whole 20 minute scene in the middle of the, maybe towards the second half of the movie, where Melissa McCarthy and Rose Byrne are just going at each other, throwing insults at each other. That to me was like
acme.
I mean, they were just going after each other, and I don't know how much of it was improvised and how much of it was real. There was this.
I bet there was this
Swedish little kid.
Yeah,
guy.
He was funny.
This kind of stuff.
I did write. I bet the outtakes are super fun. I'd rather see the outtakes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, the movie just went on too long, and it was like the same joke again and again and again. I found it tiring.
Really?
Yeah, and then I think the characters just came across as very one-dimensional, other than Melissa McCarthy's. They were just there for that one purpose and that one joke. And yeah, they played that joke really well, like Jason Statham, but it was the same joke again and again and again. You know, I ripped my head off and used it to stop the door. I mean... It just became very tiresome
for
me.
I'm laughing at that already.
You know, as well as... And I made that one up, Joe.
I love it.
It just didn't feel like everyone was well-rounded and full, you know? I'm ready to stop talking about this one now.
Yeah, see, anything else to add?
No, I mean, I think, you know, we were talking earlier about Jurassic World, and not to take anything away from, you know, what a great entertainer that movie is, but I could sleep well at night knowing that Spy was a movie which made a ton of money, because I think it takes...
You're on a money roll this
week. It really
week.
Bothers me, but, you know, why... I can't think of a more entertaining, well-constructed mainstream movie than Spy. It just gets the job done, and maybe Kingsman from earlier in the year comes closest to it, you know.
So I think that's my issue. I liked Kingsman way more than Spy, and they seem very similar.
They
to
are
me.
Very similar in that they're both very accomplished, well-written, funny, you know, just they're having a good time, and it's hardworking.
Summer's here.
Yeah,
I mean, the summer movie season is here with these movies, right? Okay, yes, the sum up and score then.
So I think there's many things which are not right with the media we consume right now. You know, we have crap in the multiplexes and the Kardashians on television. But this film somehow, like I said earlier, restores my faith in big budget Hollywood mainstream movies. I think it's brilliant. It held up the test. I mean, I can't wait to see this movie a third time, because I know I'm going to laugh just as much as I did the first and second time. A very, very stingy 8 out of 10. Maybe I would even consider a 9 at one point.
Do it. Come on.
No, 8 out of 10.
You can only have 1 9 per episode. Yes.
Okay, well, clearly that's not going to come from me. So, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I would put this in the category of intelligent slapstick. It felt tonally very consistent with something like Bridesmaids, you know, and it was so much better than Feig's last movie with McCarthy, which was The Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I admired the writing in this movie. I think the jokes were very clever. And Rashmi, I think you probably found the repetitive nature of them annoying.
In
this
like
particular
that.
Movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't always like that. But in this particular movie, Every time they repeat them, they add something to it. So it just felt like a yes and, you know. And
they found game, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a concept that started to tickle me a lot towards the end of the movie. And, you know, the Italian character, for example, that was mentioned.
He was so good. Like,
he has a scene at the end of the movie.
I know. Which, that made me laugh.
Which just,
at the very end, which I missed when I saw. Did you guys stay
there? Yeah.
Oh, I did not see.
Flips everything back to front and messes with your head in a way that. And I'm like, this is really clever. So that made me leave the movie with a beaming smile. And the beaming smile equates to another stingy 8 out of 10. Only because. I can't think of a reason. I feel like a 9 would be too generous. So this is one where I'm struggling.
You probably liked it less than Jurassic Park, right?
Do an 8.5.
I can probably go with that.
Gun to my head, I would watch Jurassic Park a second time rather than this. Sorry, Esty.
Okay, so I think if this movie was a little shorter and tighter with 5 less jokes per minute, it would have been excellent. But it's not, so it makes it very good. So 7 out of 10.
Ooh. Okay. Well,
I liked it more than Jurassic World.
Okay.
And I probably would see it again.
You know, her British assistant, she was so good.
Yes, yeah, she was very funny.
She was very good. The Italian character, Peter Serafinovis. I mean, you know, just the ride from the Rome airport to her hotel.
That was funny.
It just cracks me up even as I'm thinking about it.
And Jude Law. I mean...
Yeah.
He was being Jude Law. But he was being the Jude Law cliche Jude Law, right? And that was really nicely done because he was exactly the kind of arrogant bastard that you expect the Jude Law character to be.
Yeah.
But he was funny with it, and he also had an underlying charm. Did anyone else get that?
Yeah.
I would have normally found him like too greasy and annoying, but so many little things in this. Rose Byrne. Wow.
Yeah,
I want her to headline something too, but you know what? Maybe her role in life is this kind of excellent.
Yeah, to raise everybody else's game.
Excellent, supporting actor.
Yeah.
So. Mail at moviewallows.com. Let us know how many times we pronounce Jason Statham's name wrong in this podcast.
That's right.
Yes, the Imran Rashmi. Yes.
Jason Statham. There's no R.
He's from the East End of London as anyone else. So it's Jason Statham. Twitter.com/moviewallows, Facebook.com/moviewallows as well. Until our next episode. It's too many movies, too little time. Yeah, good night from me.
And me.
Me as well. Bye, Jason Statham.
It's like we need to have lines, you know. I will not pronounce Jason Statham's name. Right, 100 times, repeat.
I'm mixing it up with the other Statham. Who's the guy who was in Good Night and Good Luck? There was another Statham.
Statham.